Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. As residential tower blocks age and degrade in our cities, they've become a burden on the environment. However, affordable high-density housing remains as important as it was back when these towers were first built. So how can we retrofit and regenerate these signatures of our urban skylines? On today's episode, we speak to two of the team behind the renewal of Ken Sobel Tower in Hamilton, Ontario, during the week that residents began to return to see how it exemplifies the way both a building and its residents can benefit by aging in place.
Hello, my name is Graham Stewart, and I'm a principal with ERA Architects in Toronto.
Hi, I'm Yael Santopinto. I'm an associate with ERA Architects and the director of research with our associated nonprofit, the Tower Renewal Partnership. The Ken Sobel Tower is this week being occupied by residents after 4 years of sitting empty as it underwent its transformation. People will be moving into what is going to be the largest enterfit in North America. That's the Passive House standard for retrofits, but also a completely modernized post-war apartment building that has received a completely new life, ready for the 21st century, COVID resilient, climate resilient, healthy housing, comfortable housing, and affordable housing.
The Ken Sobel Tower is a ubiquitous tower block. It's similar to those you find all over the world. This was built as a landmark affordable housing project in Canada's centennial year in 1967, and it provided, you know, good, solid, affordable housing for many decades. Then it became the end of its life. It was no longer fit for habitation. People emptied the building and it was lived elsewhere. And a big study was done to say, should we keep the building or should we tear down and refurbish? And thankfully, the choice was made to keep the building. And that was due to issues of embodied carbon, issues of social resilience, and making sure that this housing was used for social purpose and not torn down and lost to market housing. And also economic. So we did a deep feasibility with City Housing Hamilton and looked at even this level of ambition. It was more economic to do a retrofit than to tear down and rebuild. And a lot of the work that was done was really state of repair, you know, replacing all the plumbing, a lot of the electrical, you know, making sure the building worked. The structure was actually in quite good shape, so we didn't need to focus there so much and to use the good bones of this building for another life. We also updated 20% of the units to be fully barrier free. So that required some major surgery of much larger washrooms, moving the kitchens to really deal with an aging population because it will be seniors housing. And then in terms of climate resilience, that required a new winter coat, totally new ventilation systems that brought in fresh air, new triple glazed windows, and then a full fit out of, you know, kitchens, et cetera.
About 15 years ago, we started to realize that when we looked at places like the UK, the EU, they also had large stocks of post-war apartment housing that had then been renewed for their second life. Here in Canada, we said, why is this not happening? And we realized that the barriers really were not technical. Most of them were systemic. They were things like, how does the financing work? How does the tax structure work? And also, how do owners know what they should be doing to improve their aging housing? These kinds of questions led us to form the Tower Renewal Partnership, which really is an initiative that does primary research and looks at some of these policy and ecosystem-wide structures to understand how we can actually create enabling environments for widespread renewal of our affordable housing. And certainly, over the past few years, we have seen massive shifts toward this. And across Canada, we are seeing massive movement on renewal, and we're excited to see Ken Sobel being one of the first of its generation to really do a comprehensive modernization of one of these buildings.
This version of the Ken Sobel Tower, it will be a seniors building. And so we started with this building that was not designed for aging in place. It was mostly smaller units. And so what we looked at were, where can we do some meaningful interventions to be able to make this place really work for that population? One of those was taking 20% of units and making them fully accessible and fully barrier free. That was quite an ordeal. A lot of things that you wouldn't have imagined, including slightly widening the entry doors to those units. New washrooms that are kitted out with all of the pieces for aging in place and for mobility devices, and designing kitchens that also have an ability to accommodate mobility devices. We did a comprehensive retrofit of the envelope. So that was bringing in what's fairly standard in Europe, and especially standard in Middle Europe, of triple glaze windows. This is new to North America. So this is hardware that people aren't used to working with. So ensuring that those were easy to use, easy for people to get used to, but also designed so that the units themselves have cross ventilation and you're able to do as much as you can through passive means, and people learning how to use their suites a little bit differently. It's not just cranking up the AC and shutting down the window, but being able to use a mix of tools such as ceiling fans and opening the window very widely to get cross breeze to stay comfortable.
We are seeing right now a sea change in the way that we're looking at our existing housing stock. There's much conversation in Canada and, of course, all over the world about increasing affordable housing supply. And a critical part of the supply question is maintenance of what we have. A couple of years ago in Toronto, one large post-war apartment building had a catastrophic electrical failure that led to over 1,000 residents being emergency evacuated from the building overnight, flooding our shelter system, and truly overwhelming it. That is what happens when one building goes offline. What if two buildings go offline? What if three? What if 10? So the question that we started to ask was, we can't do anything with the supply question around affordable housing unless we have really secured our existing stock. That question is no longer theoretical. It is absolutely front of mind. And in fact, the City of Toronto recently published a resilience strategy that foregrounded the maintenance of our existing stock as one of its critical pieces. We've estimated that there are more than 750,000 households living in aging rental apartment housing, and so that we know that there's a tremendous need for strategies. We have seen the leaders in this question to be social housing, that is public housing bodies, and other nonprofit affordable housing providers, because they understand the interconnection of the quality of housing of their residents and the sort of longevity of these assets. And they see that picture very clearly, and they have been the leaders. And across Canada, there is more and more work happening in that sector, like City Housing Hamilton did at the Ken Sobel Tower in Hamilton.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to the team at ERA Architects for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck, goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.